teaching today,
so I'll ask questions and I'll make it interactive as much as possible. I just want to preach you a nice sermon. What I really out for is light and understanding. It's not just to listen but to understand. The Bible talks about the parable of the sower. It said the seed fed by the wayside. Then he interpreted it. He said, those are those who hear the word, but they did not understand it. Then Satan came and stole it away. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Okay, Romans 8. Let's just take it little by little. Wherever we stop is where we stop. We continue next week. Romans 8. Let's just start with verse 1. Can you read me Romans 8 verse 1? First from New Living Translation, and then later from New King James. Sister. Romans 8, verse 1. Here you go. Here you go, my love. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Yes, please read.
So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. And that's from New Living Translation. So if all you ever did in your life was read New Living Translation, that's all you get, yeah? And that's why I encourage you, if you want to study the Bible, use at least 3 different versions. And my own preferences are King James or New King James, New Living Translation, and Amplified. You can get a fuller picture. Some things you don't understand in your Bible, it's just simply a matter of translation. And if you can just read some other translations, you understand it. By the way, the New Testament was written in Greek. Okay? And it's only been translated to English. So some meaning may be lost. But as you read different versions, you capture some meanings. Now, let's take Romans 8:1 from King James or New King James. Yes, Sister Pinky, I'll come back to you. Romans 8, verse 1. King James, New King James. Just a minute. Is he on? Let's try again. Hallelujah. Okay. Battery gone. There you go. Romans 8:1, New King James Version. Let's go for it.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Who do not walk according to what? The flesh. But according to? Spirit. Now, if you go off, and all you ever thought was, well, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, you've lost some meaning. Amen? Hallelujah. And I know that we preachers, sometimes we just preach that, and then we leave it there. And so I'm born again. There's no condemnation. Yeah? They just went to do something very bad and, you know, disgrace God. But he said what? There's no what? Condemnation. No, that's what the Bible says. It said there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know what that means? If you walk after the flesh, what are you going to get? Condemnation. Hallelujah. Hello? Someone in Christ Jesus who is walking after the flesh, what's going to be the result? Condemnation. Unless they repent. Unless they what? They repent. I was saying earlier, the medicine, yeah? The medicine to sin is repentance. Yeah? The medicine to sin is what? Repentance. Because the blood of Jesus has been shed. And all through my life, whenever I walk in the flesh, it's sin. And I must repent. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. Anytime the Holy Spirit tells me, I say, you missed it there. I'm repenting already. Hallelujah. Because I don't want what? What did I want? Condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. So the meaning of this, if I really need to explain, is that it's one thing to be born again. Yeah? But that's not the end. It's the start of a journey. Say, being born again is not the end. It's the start of a journey. You know what you do in a journey? You walk. Hallelujah. You got to walk the walk. You see, it's one thing to be in the light, but it's another thing to walk in the light. Now, if you're in the light and you don't walk in the light, you end up in darkness. Amen? It's never static. Never static. Hallelujah. If I'm not walking in the night, in the light, you know what I'm doing? I'm receding back into darkness. Hallelujah. Say, I choose to walk after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read verse 2 to 4 now, and then I'll ask my first question. Romans 8, 2 to 4. I thought I saw your hand. Romans 8, 2 to 4. Please follow in your Bible. Romans 8, 2 to 4. And the title of today's sermon is Life in the Spirit. Can we say that?
Life in the Spirit.
There is life in the Spirit. There's what? There's life in the Spirit. Yes, Romans 8, 2. Go for it.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay, suppose there. When you read that in King James, yeah?
Yes.
And you just stop there. You know, I know someone in this church who told me, oh, they don't, when they read the Bible, they don't understand it. I say, yeah, because you're a very lazy student. Number one, you won't even read it much. You read few verses in one version, then you close it. He said, I don't understand. If you study for your exam like that, how will you pass? Amen? Go from, and if you don't understand it, check another version. Hallelujah. He said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ just has set me from the law of sin. Which law? He's not talking about the law of Moses or the law of UK. Let's have that from New Living Translation, Romans 8:2. This side, Romans 8:2. What does that mean?
And because you belong to him, the power of the power of the life-giving Spirit.
So that law of the Spirit of life is referring to the power of the life-giving Spirit in my inner man. Hallelujah. As I told you, when you got born again, your face did not change. Am I right? If it changed, you use makeup. Hallelujah. Huh? It didn't change. Your body did not change. The things you dumped into your mind for many years, they are still there. Your old way of thinking is still there. Whether you inherited it from your parents or from your school or from your culture. Hallelujah. What changed? 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Where? In the inner man. Now that also proves to you that the inner man is the real you. When God wants to change you, he changes you from inside. Hallelujah. He changes you from where? Inside. Let me tell you the proof. The proof to know that you've changed when you got born again is that you love God. Hallelujah. If you are still doubting whether you love God, you are not yet born again. Hallelujah. Every child of God, what they do? Even if they do the most wicked things in the world, but inside, they truly love God. Do you see, can you connect with that in your life? You truly love God. You are born again. Secondly, if you are born again, inside, I'm not talking about outside, inside, you want to please God. Hallelujah. If you are not sure that you love God and you want to please God, you are still trying to dribble God, you should doubt whether you are born again. Amen? I'm not talking about the things you do. I'm talking of inside. Hallelujah. The things I do may not agree, but inside, I love God. Hallelujah. And I want to please God. I'm a new creation. Where? Inside. The old things passed away. Where? Inside. All things have become new. Where? Inside. But that's the start of the journey. It's a mistake to think it's the end of the journey. God changed you from inside so that you can move from inside to outside. Hallelujah. You know, people say, oh, God sees my heart. I know he saw it. Hallelujah. But he doesn't just want to see your heart. He wants to see your fruits. He said, by their fruit, shall know them. So don't keep telling us about God seeing your heart. When is legal to become good fruit? It's God's plan for you. Say, it's God's plan for me to produce good fruit. Hallelujah. But if you're going to produce good fruit, you're going to start from the root. And that's why when you go born again, it changed the root. Hallelujah. It changed what? The root. So I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I'm not a sinner. Hello? Is that I'm not what? I'm not a sinner. And I'm not telling you that I don't sin. Hallelujah. A pig likes to wallow in the mud. It's a pig. A cat does not like to wallow in the mud. If you catch a cat, if you throw a cat into the mud, the next second is out licking itself. Hallelujah. A cat is not a pig. And a pig is not what? I'm a saint. Don't think it's people that are dead that are saints. People that are dead are dead. The saints are the living ones. It's not angels that are saints. Angels are angels. They are messengers of God. They are not sons of God. Hallelujah. The saints are redeemed people. You know what makes you a saint? You know what makes you a saint? Tell me. Somebody tell me. What makes you a saint? How can you call yourself? Why do I say I'm a saint? Where's the mic? Why? How can I say? Imagine the audacity for me to say that I'm a saint. Why am I a saint? And you know what I did yesterday? Tell me. Why do you think I can say I'm a saint? Despite what I did yesterday. Okay. Let's go this way first. Despite what I did yesterday, I was supposed to call you. I didn't call you. And I said, I'm a saint. Now, this is hypothetical, yeah?
Because this, God is saint.
Because
therefore,
what?
God is a saint.
Okay.
Therefore, we are. Because we are
because a child of God.
Yes, Hallelujah. As a child of God.
Okay, yes, yes, I like that, but you've not hit it. How can you call yourself a saint despite the fact that you know that 2 days ago you did something wrong?
I'm a saint through righteousness in Christ Jesus.
Okay, yes, that's right, in the right direction. But what gave you righteousness? What made righteousness possible?
Because I confess every day, so I don't live in the same sin.
Okay, yes, yes, yeah. No, you're not hitting it. After this, I'll just give you the answer. Yes. What? Why can? How can you call yourself a saint?
Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. So
yes, I know.
If Christ is a saint, I am a saint.
Despite the fact that you sinned yesterday. Yes, and what happened when you repented? 1 John 1:9.
Because he died for me.
Yeah, go. Tell us what you want to say. I don't mind.
Because he died for
because
me.
Because he died. Yes, yes, it's in the right direction. The answer is in 1 John 1:9. If you repent, what happens? No, 1 John 1:9. Check it. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we are lying. So if you meet any Christian and say, I don't have any sin, what are they doing?
They're lying.
But if we confess our sins, what will happen?
It's faithful and just.
To do what?
To forgive us.
So you repented, he forgave you. But is that all he did?
No.
What does he do?
He cleansed us with his blood.
How does he cleanse you? Look, if you like, buy advanced Dove. You know advanced Dove? You know, what are these very strong bathing soaps? Is that okay? Wash yourself over. Perfume yourself. You can't cleanse it from anything. It's the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing can ever cleanse your sin. Hallelujah. Than what? The blood of Jesus. You can never do better than the blood. Hallelujah. And because I have received the blood, it has cleansed me from unrighteousness. What am I now? When I'm cleansed from unrighteousness, what am I? I'm righteous. Hello? If I am cleansed, what am I? I'm righteous. Hallelujah. Righteousness is an empowerment to live right. Amen. You know, I know what has happened yesterday has happened. Yeah? But today is a new day. Hallelujah. Today is what?
A new day.
Your garment was stained. But you repented. Somebody say repented. You have to repent. You know, I do that with my kids. You know, repent is not a popular word in this day, but I deliberately choose to use it in my home. I don't tell my children just to say sorry. I say, repent. So I hear Kevin telling Ryan, repent. Hallelujah. I repented. I recognized my wrongdoing. You know, you cannot repent until you recognize your wrongdoing. Hallelujah. And you know, you can refuse to recognize your wrongdoing. You just deliberately refuse it as an act of the will. Your will is powerful. Amen? All that time you refuse to recognize your wrongdoing, you are missing out of God's best. Maybe 2 years of your life will go. Imagine, 2 years, just like that. I told someone in this church, when they were like, oh, I'm going to leave. I said, okay, do you know that five years from now, you will come back to this church? But those 5 years will have been wasted. Now it's 3.5 years since they left. They still don't go to church. Hallelujah. That's why we have to repent quickly. Hallelujah. I like Kenneth Hagin because he said, you know, once he was praying to God for healing, you know, and he's a man of faith, a man of great faith, and it's not working. It's good to know that someone like of great faith may also have that challenge, not only me. Hallelujah. And said, you know, when you're doing your thing, it's not working, ask questions. So he began to pray and fast and say, God, what is the problem? And then God showed him some things where he didn't obey. It's not like a sin of fornication or immorality. It's just a sin of God said, go there, he didn't. Or God said, do this, he didn't. He said, God, just give me a second. So he made a little adjustment inside the spirit. He said, now I'm ready. It doesn't take long. Hallelujah. It doesn't what? Take long. Hallelujah. It doesn't what? Take long. And the reason why it doesn't take long is that if you don't repent quickly, you are missing out of God's best for your life. Hallelujah. And if we repent, we confess and say, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all. Say to yourself, say, I need righteousness in my life. That's the empowerment. You see, righteousness gives you confidence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When there's no sin between you and God, you are confident. Hallelujah. You can make a demand on the devil and you know that he must obey you. Hallelujah. Because he's the accuser of the brethren. But if he has nothing, no hold on you because you repented. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, the power of the Holy Spirit in me has delivered me. Yeah? From the old of the sinful nature. I don't have to be under sin. You know what I like God did? It's a medical secret, I tell you. You know what about it? If you want to cure, if you want to eradicate an epidemic, yeah? There are two strategies. Yeah, there's an epidemic, a plague. We will not see plague in Jesus' name. You need first the medicine to keep people, to cure people or to keep them alive. Someone has been hit. You need medicine or else they will die. Am I right? So you need the medicine that you can take. Then you also need to take steps to prevent the spread. Am I right? So the first thing God does in your life to deliver you from the hold of sin is gives you the medicine. If you repent, what will he do? And what? You know that guarantees that you can never die. Hallelujah. The guarantee that you will never die as a Christian spiritually is that you know how to repent. Amen? Because the cure is still the blood of Jesus. There will never be a better cure. Amen? But that's one side. The other side to it is that he has also given you the power. It's inside you. The problem is that you are not yielding to that power. Amen? Instead, you are yielding to your thoughts and to your feelings and to your ego, your will. You know your will? The will can be very dangerous. You know, Pastor Nini was talking about the difference between vision and ambition. You can have an ambition that has nothing to do with the plan of God for your life. It's called selfish ambition. Hallelujah. Question. Let's read verse 3. Romans 8 verse 3. And I'll ask you a question now. Romans 8 verse 3 and 4. Romans 8 verse 3 and 4. Yes, who is going to give me that? Romans 8 3 and 4. Yes, Sean. Romans 8 3 and 4. Please follow your Bible. And I'll ask you my first question.
The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature.
Yes.
So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins.
Okay, now keep reading 5 and 6. He's listening very well to 5 and 6. This is a question I asked Sean earlier today. Please listen to it, because I'm going to ask that question again. Read it.
Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things.
Look at the secret. Those who live according to the flesh. Yeah? They have their what? They have their mind. Let me read from King James. Romans 8:5, I'm reading. Romans 8:5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And those who live according to the spirit set their minds on the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Question is this. What does it mean to be carnally minded? Romans 8:6 says that to be carnally minded is death. Or new living. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you will die. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual. And he said, your mind on the things of the spirit, you will live. What does it mean to be carnally minded? Or what does it mean to set your mind on the things of the flesh? Yes. Remember, Romans 8 is to Christians. It's not to unbelievers.
To be carnally minded means you're living your life based on the flesh. So it's based on your five senses, what you can see, hear, taste, smell, and feel.
Okay, so you are living your life just dictated by your thoughts and your feelings and what you want. Just like an unbeliever would do. The difference between you and them is that you are a Christian, but you are still following your five senses. What you see, what you feel, what you smell, what you taste. What else? What you hear? Yeah? You are following the dictates, the impulse of your body. Yeah? And interacting with the world. Yes? Any other answer? What does it mean to be carnally minded? Because the Bible says when you are doing that, it's death. Or it leads to death. Spiritual death. Yes? Any other one? Let me ask another question to break it down. So if we agree that this is what I have. He said, if we agree that what to be carnally minded means to focus and fill your mind with the things of this world. To be carnally minded means that you are focusing and filling your mind with the things of this world. So my question is this. What are the things of this world? Because the Bible is saying that if I focus and fill my mind with the things of this world, it will lead me to spiritual death. It's a very strong statement. Hallelujah. You know, I'm born again my life now in Christ. But he said, if I focus my mind on the things of this world, it will lead me to spiritual death. What are the things of this world?
Anything that doesn't glorify God.
Okay, that's a good answer. It's just that it's too general. Give me one specific thing of this world. Like everybody, we have a goal. What are the things of this world? Is it not far-fetched? Just look around the world. What are the things that the world likes? Think about it. It doesn't matter if you like it too.
Money.
Money! That one is at the top of the table. Where is it? At the top. Do you know Jesus recognized money? He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Yes? What are the things of this world?
Love Island.
Yes, 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 yes. It's part of the things of this world. And what happens on Love Island has nothing to do with God's love. What happens on Love Island is called wickedness. Yes? What are the things of this world? There's one word that has been most abused in the world. And that word is called love. Yes? Yeah.
Pride of life. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life.
Pride. Can you? What does it mean? Because, you know, when you read your Bible and you hear pride of life, what does it mean? What's the pride of life? I agree. Yeah, it's the right answer, but can you explain a bit further? What is pride of life?
I suppose your ego, selfish ambition.
I will help you. Read it, New Living Translation. Somebody. 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John 2:15, New Living Translation. It will interpret pride of life for you. 1 John 2:15. Yes, who has New Living?
Yes.
Abigail, I'm still coming to you. I must make sure that I engage you. I'm coming to you, Audrey.
Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you.
So it tells us, 1 John 2:6 talks about the things the world offers us. Now listen to the things of this world. What are they?
For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you.
Yes.
For the world offers only...
What does the world offer you?
Only a craving.
A craving?
For physical pleasure.
A craving for physical pleasure.
A craving.
If your life is dominated by cravings for physical pleasure, yeah, you are being carnally... That doesn't mean you should not have pleasure at all. We're talking about when it's dominating your mind. Okay? Yes?
A craving for everything we see.
Aha! When your mind is dominated by a craving for everything you see. Now remember, I'm not saying you cannot have any things you see. For example, I saw my wife before I married her. Does it make sense? Hallelujah! You have to see. You have to open your eyes in order to make mistakes, isn't it? But he's saying that a craving for everything you see. That's why it's good not to window shop. Because when you keep window shopping, you will develop craving for everything you want. It's not just window shopping in town center. There are also people that window shop other people that are not their wives. They are window shopping. Huh? Yes?
And pride in our achievement and possession.
Now look at pride. What is pride of life? Pride in our achievements and what? Possessions. There was a story in the Bible that really touched me. He said there was this man that his farm did very well in a year. And he had so much harvest. And he now said, oh, what will I do now? This harvest is too much. So he pulled down his barns, which is the storage. And then... he built big, high capacity, times 100. And he filled it. You know, say, oh, hallelujah. He shouted, hallelujah. Now I can relax and enjoy for the rest of my life. And the Lord said to you, let me tell you something I believe, if you give some insight, I believe that every story Jesus shared happened. You know why? Why should he be giving you fiction when he had access to... As I think Jesus came, man has already lived more than 4,000 years. In 4,000 years of living, he has many examples. Amen? So even if he says that's a parable, I believe it happened. Because why should I tell you fiction when I have so much experiences that I can share from? He said that very night, the Lord told him, your soul will be required. Then, let us see. You know who is talking? God, let us now see who we take over what you have. Hallelujah. We have to be weird. Now, don't misunderstand me. Achievements are important. You should have an education. You should train. You know, went to men's conference yesterday. You should seek to develop yourself. Don't just stay where you are. 10 years later, nothing has changed. You know, train, retrain, develop yourself. Okay? These are basic. But when your mind is dominated. Someone said dominated. When your mind. This is now your value system. Your mind is dominated by the pride you have in your achievements and possession. Bible says you are being carnally minded. And it leads to death. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because anytime any of those things dominate you, the devil can easily get you. You know why? The devil, all those things we just listed are the devil's domain. Let me give you my list. My list is the same thing you read. I just want to interpret it in modern language. The things of this world. Materialism. Yeah. Materialism. Just acquiring. We need to be very careful. Now, I'm not saying you should not beautify your house. Hallelujah. But even beautifying your house can become what? Materialism. By the way, my wife just finished beautifying after 4 years, 5 years. Hallelujah. You know, when you're a pastor wife, you enter the preaching. There's nothing wrong in beautifying your house. I only just said that deliberately. But when your mind is dominated by it, it's your value system. It's what makes you smile in the morning. You have a problem. Hallelujah. You see, when you wake up in the morning, what should make you smile? You say, ah, Father, I thank you for a new day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity I have to know you and love you and serve you. That is the deepest value system. When you wake up and you remember that you have £50,000 in your, look at the one I'm prophesying this for, in your instant savings account.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I say, yeah, glory. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you didn't pray for the last 1 week. You just wake up and say, oh, hallelujah. You just remember. You know, you woke up, you were feeling bad that you didn't pray, you didn't read the Bible. God is good. God is still working. You know what? You have what? A problem. You are being what? Carnally minded. And the problem is that, in that situation, the devil can easily get you. He knows the trick. Is that not what he offered Jesus? Jesus, the Messiah. He said, bow down and worship me. And I will give you everything. It's within my power. Do you know? It's all within the devil's power. Everything of this world, the devil can give you. So, I'm telling you something. If you do something in unrighteousness and you get it, it doesn't mean it's God. The devil can give you. The difference between human prosperity and godly prosperity, you know the difference? Righteousness, peace, and joy. When God prospers you, it will never take you out of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The devil can give you prosperity. It's within his power. He offered Jesus. Hallelujah. But to be carnally minded is what? Any prosperity that will take me out of the will of God for my life, yeah, it should go. You know why? Anything the devil can do, God can do 10 times better. Hallelujah. Anything the devil can do what? God can do 10 times better. Hallelujah. Some say, oh, you know, you are getting older and older. If you don't do something about it now and try to get a child, you will never have a child. So you go and commit immorality because all you are looking for what? A child. You have the child. But not in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, it may be 5 years later that you got married. And another 3 years that God came through for you. But when God comes through, it will be what? Righteousness, peace. Nothing to hide. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about people who are born again. We have a choice either to walk after the flesh or after. And this is a choice we are making every day. Come on, say every day. Hallelujah. Let me finish the things of this world. The things of this world include fashion. Sisters, praise the Lord. Even brothers too. I keep challenging sisters. You know, when I talk about coming to display us your armpit and thighs in church or anywhere, even on the street. It's not just in church. Anything I teach you in church, I want you to use it outside. That's what I'm teaching you. The other day, what day was it? Thursday? It was warm on Thursday or Wednesday, so I had a school run. So I saw this man who came in, and he had this top, which was cut. So basically, it was cut across like that, down. So you can actually see his breast. Although it's not protruded, but you can see it. And I keep challenging, but I say, why can't I wear it to church and preach? Don't I have the freedom? Hallelujah. You see, fashion is a promotion of selfishness. So don't let it dominate. I'm not saying don't do fashion. Please don't misunderstand me. Yeah? Look good and look decent. You know, I tell you, when people look good, I say you look good, isn't it? Did I not say that today? Huh? So I'm not against that. But in your fashion, don't be dominated by it. Every fashion is a promotion of selfishness. You see, when you look at yourself in the mirror, with your fashion, you're only thinking about yourself, isn't it? And those who will die for you. Hallelujah. Be considerate. That's what I'm saying. In what we do, we must what?
Be considerate.
Someone say, it doesn't matter. God looks at the heart. Yes, God looks at the heart. But the heart produces the fruit. And say, by their fruit. So if your foot is always wrong, something is wrong with your heart. Hallelujah. So let's be considerate. Look good. Look decent. You know, glorify God. But don't become over fixated with fashion. Fashion is a thing of this world. Your goal should not be to be the most fashionable person on earth. It will lead you into sin. Hallelujah. Let's take another one on the list. Selfish ambition. But I'll just skip forward. Let's ask the next question. So, this is the question. Read Romans 8 verse 5 again. I want to show you where the problem comes in. Romans 8 verse 5. Why a person, a Christian, why should a Christian be carnally minded? Yeah? Other things of this world are lustful pleasure. Lustful pleasure, entertainment. Yeah? All of them can be good, but in the wrong, when they dominate you, it becomes a tool of the devil. Yes, Romans 8:5. Anybody reading? Romans 8:5. Yeah, go on.
Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things.
Okay, this is the question. What causes a person to be dominated by the sinful nature? No, I'm wrong. What causes a Christian, they are born again, what causes them to be dominated by sinful nature? Remember I told you, your sinful nature never leaves you. If you ever had a story and say, when you were born again, God made a new creation, and then when you got become sanctified, God removed the root of sin. The question is, even the person that says is sanctified, are they not still doing wrong things later? Can you guarantee? It's so long you're in this flesh. Sin is in the flesh. You know what I mean by sin? The desires. Huh? Your flesh is no different from the flesh of the unbeliever outside. Yeah? The unbeliever is capable of getting angry. You yourself as a Christian, you're capable of getting angry in the flesh. But that's not God's will. That's why he made you a new creation in your spirit. But what causes your mind to be dominated by the things of the sinful nature? Tell me from that verse, anybody? Excuse me. You should have picked it. So, this is how a Christian's mind becomes dominated by the things of the flesh. What is the process? Anybody? Pastor James. I got you. A Christian.
Yeah?
They love God. Remember I said, no, anybody that doesn't love God is not born again. Anybody that doesn't want to please God from their heart is not what? Born again. But you love God, you want to please God. What causes your mind to be dominated by the things of the sinful nature? According to Romans 5:8-5. Probably want to read it again. You know, people are watching you. Romans 8:5. The answer is there. It's right there. Something causes your mind to be dominated by the things of the flesh. It's right there in that verse.
So when you don't allow the Holy Spirit.
No. Nothing. That one is not in the verse. Look at the verse. Read it again. Romans 8:5. Read it again.
Those who are dominated by the sinful
nature. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature.
Think about sinful things.
Sorry?
Think about sinful things.
So what causes people to be dominated by the sinful nature? They think. All right. Thank you. I know. I'm trying to unpack something for you now. Sometimes it's simple. Many of your struggles are very simple. If you consume things of the flesh through what you are hearing, what you are watching, what you are interacting with, you will have your mind focused on the things of the flesh. Hello? If I'm continuously exposing myself to worldly things and the worldly system and the way they do it, I'm feeding on Coronation Street, EastEnders. It's just the way the society is. Believe me, give time, you will behave like that. If you watch EastEnders, people divorce, you think that's normal. Yeah? Because they're telling you that's what the society is. But the Bible never told you to live according to society. It said live according to the word. Are you with me? You watch EastEnders, people are drinking. You say, well, you know how you start? You say, well, I don't drink. Because I don't. And I'm very healthy. I'm in health. I am in health. Hallelujah. I've not been to GP for more than 5 years. I'm in health. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to say it's my confession. I'm telling you what it is. Now, you watch it and does. People who are normal, intelligent like you, they are drinking and they look normal. You sit and say, well, I don't drink. But in your brain, you are being reprogrammed. That is okay. Are you with me? You are being reprogrammed. That is okay. Because you are feeding on the word, not the word. You see, because these two systems, they don't go together. The word of God tells you a way of living. Then the word tells you its own way of what? Of living. The word will never teach you how to live the way God wants. Never. Because the world system is governed by the devil. Are you with me? They are children of darkness. Because they are not yet into the light. So the more I feed on what the word is telling me, the more I find it easy to accommodate it. EastEnders, I don't watch it, but I just give an example. I know Christians watch it. Someone say, if you have a bad habit, quit it. Hallelujah. Say to someone, say, if you have a bad habit, quit it. Let me give an example. In EastEnders, they do a lot of shouting on each other. There's a lot of rage. Huh? It's like they have to put it the other way to not be interesting. When people quarrel, there's rage. You know what I mean? So when you keep watching that over time, you may find it acceptable. But the Bible says, let all malice, anger, rage, bitterness be put off. Colossians 3. But the worldly program tells you it's a normal part of life. So as I feed on the things of this world, I will think on them. I want you to understand. Look, I'm telling you that overcoming the flesh is not a matter of fasting and prayer. It's a matter of practical wisdom. Yeah? People should fast and pray to know God better. That's what I believe. That's what is called waiting on the Lord. If you are going to feed on the flesh, you will end up thinking, being dominated by the things of the flesh. The world will tell you that if you don't have money in loads and loads, you are useless. You can't go anywhere. That's what you hear in the music. That's what you hear in the movies. Huh? You know all these rap artists. Their trouser is falling down. Yeah? You can see their dirty pants. Yeah? Big chain. You know? Heavy duty. Huh? Then, no, that's not the end. That's where I'm going. If you are going to rap, they will show you the nicest car and money just spraying down the car. Hallelujah. I'm not criticizing. I'm showing you how it influenced me. I don't know whether you are immune to it. I'm not. Because as I watch that over and over again, I begin to get a picture of what it means to prosper. It's a wrong picture. Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, because you brought nothing into this world, and it is absolutely certain that you can take out what? Nothing. Hallelujah. So those who have their minds dominated by the flesh, they think on the things of the flesh. So it means that if I'm going to overcome in that area, I need to start regulating, yeah, what I consume. Hallelujah. You know, if you're trying to lose some weight or some fat, who is trying to lose some weight? Anybody here? But by the way, it's okay to be who you are. I love you just the way you are. You know what I mean? There's a market for all types of people. Okay? Hallelujah. We're not at our church. But if you decided that I wanted to lose weight, I'm going to ask my wife this one. She's a good dietitian. So what do you do regarding your meal, Sister PJ? If you decide as a New Year's resolution that you want to lose weight, what are you going to do about what you consume? Are you going to consume just anything?
Overhaul my entire diet, which means more vegetables, fruit, protein, and less carbs.
You know what you're doing? You are regulating your consumption. Hallelujah. If I regulate the things I consume, what I watch, what I hear, including the music. You know, some of the worldly music is not affecting you. Worldly music is about money. In fact, worldly music is all about lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life. In fact, I've never seen anything more in worldly music. When I take worldly music and I analyze it, they're either telling me about money or about romance, and usually it's going to be in the ungodly way, or about fame and power. The world can never sell anything else. That's what they sell. The world will always sell you what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. You know what it's doing? It's stimulating that animal nature in you. Because it's still you there. Hallelujah. The animal nature that you'll be putting to death through the spirit, once you are feeding on those things, it's stimulating the animal nature. Hallelujah. So what I need to do, I'm not saying don't engage with the word at all. No, I'm saying regulate your consumption. Please don't your neighbor smile at them and say regulate your consumption. Otherwise, you will get fat. Spiritually. No. It's going to be fat. Fat. Fat that you have to suck out later. And it's very difficult to suck out fat. Anybody have heard about these fat bags that block the drain? Yeah? Praise the Lord. The time has gone. I'll round up there. I'll continue next week. Because I wanted to talk about how you can let your mind be dominated by the spirit. Same thing. You have to think on the things of the spirit. And you are never going to be able to think of the things of the spirit without what? The word. We can measure it. If every day you're not exposing yourself to the word of God, you are becoming more carnal. Hallelujah. This, when it fills your mind, some things you are struggling with, they will lose significance. Hallelujah. I don't tell people to try harder. Have you ever preached it? Think about it in this church. Have I ever told you, try harder to be holy? No. Just feed on the word. The word has the power to make you holy. When it dominates your mind, you will desire to do the will of God. When I see people struggling to do the will of God, I know their problem. The word of God, they can have it in their memory. It's not in their heart. When the word of God dominates your heart, you will just do it. Because this word, what is it? It's quick and it's what? Powerful. So when I feed the word, my challenge in life is put more of the word into me than of the world. That way I will not think like the world. I will think like the word. Then, because I'm thinking like the word, it's very easy now to do the will of the Father. Hallelujah. The word of God is what God uses to clean your mind. Hallelujah. Look, if you are born into this world and you did nothing about it, your mind will be corrupted by the things of the world. You will think like the world. Hallelujah. Look, there are people today that say, I don't mind, you know. Even if any of my children are gay, I don't mind. They didn't start from there. They did not what? Start from there. You know where they started from? Not reading the Bible. They stopped reading the Bible. I know they stopped. They stopped reading it. So they forgot. Then, because by default, the word is always influencing you. And they will always tell you over and over and over again that this is okay, it's alright, there's no problem. Yeah? Then you will believe it. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. Hallelujah. You have to feed on the word. The word cleanses me, keeps me pure. Hallelujah. By the way, I love every people. I'm not condemn people. The fact that I love you does not mean I like what you do. Don't misunderstand me. If you are in face of death and you are gay, I will save you. Hallelujah. Huh? If you are in dire need, I will help you. But that doesn't mean I like your lifestyle. Hallelujah. Love is different from liking. I can love you and not like what you are doing. Hallelujah. Because if I truly love you and I see that something is destroying you, I will not embrace it. That's not love. That's not true love. Amen? Let's rise up and pray. We're talking about life in the spirit. The life he has called us to live is a life of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. A life of purity. A life that can bless other people. A life that can glorify God. You know, the part I did not say today, which I'll continue next week, is that if you walk according to the flesh, you will do things that glorify the devil. If you get me angry now, yeah, and I'm very angry with you, I have a decision to make. Whether I'm going to slap you, I will never do that, ever. not in this country. Or whether I'm going to walk away. Huh? If I yield to my flesh, I will slap you. Then I will now face the consequences, which will not glorify God. See what I mean? When I walk away, you know, I will suffer because my ego will be seriously wounded. But I will glorify God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Bible says that we are called to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. This is the important thing. And what is really at stake is who is being glorified. The devil or God? I can't, you know, when I look at it, I cannot afford to bring glory to the devil. Even if it pleases my flesh, I can't. I will always think about it, what is this I'm about to do? Yeah. If I'm walking in the street and I see a lady that I like, but I'm asking myself, what is the implication? Who will be glorified now? If I make any move now, who will be glorified? Yeah? If it starts coming to your mind, oh, let me just, you know, change some figures and steal some money. Who will be glorified? Who will be glorified? Hallelujah. Bible says that the love of Christ constrains us. It's the love of Christ that will constrain you to do the right thing. You are doing it because it's right. You are not doing it because you feel like it. He said we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by our feelings. This is how we can live the life of the Spirit. So just rededicate yourself to God and say, Father, I rededicate myself to you. I am called to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. I'm already born again because I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. So the Holy Spirit is in me. That's why I love God. That's why I want to please God. What I'm deciding today now is to begin to feed my mind on the Word, not on the world. Because the world will never sell you righteousness. Never. The world will sell you selfishness. The world will sell you materialism. And the world will sell you lust and fashion. But the Word of God sells you righteousness, which gives back to peace and joy. Thank you, Father. We believe that your Word has blessed us. Different messages for different people. But those words that have come to you personally is where your blessing is. So we'll receive that word with humility, with meekness. And we'll begin to yield for transformation. Thank you because your desire is to use us for your glory. I think the worst thing that can happen to a believer, apart from not making heaven, is to live a life that did not glorify God. So Father, I bow, I humble myself to begin to live for your glory. That means yielding to the Spirit. And saying no to the flesh. Feeding on the Word. And reducing my consumption of the things of this world. And we pray that you help us with your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.